How do you measure the depth of a spiritual life? That's the question I'd like to concern myself with this morning. You can measure the depth of a well by using a rock on the end of a string. And you drop the rock down the well and you measure how much string is played out. Thus, you can measure the depth of a well. That's simple, isn't it? But how do you measure the depth of a spiritual life? How do you measure the depth of your spiritual life? Well, it's not as simple as using a string, but it's nearly as basic. To measure your spiritual life, you must get back to basics. You must get back to talking about your relationship to Christ, and you must look at how your relationship to Christ is manifesting itself. And this morning I want to talk about your spiritual life. And as we talk about your spiritual life, begin to measure the depth of yours. I'm measuring the depth of mine. Work with me, will you? As together we measure the depth of our spiritual lives. Now to set us off on the right course, we look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire and his portion, and they shall have no inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them." Here we see the relationship of the Old Testament Levites to God. And we see a striking phrase in verse 2. The Lord is their inheritance. We need to talk about that phrase, the Lord is their inheritance. And we need to see how that phrase applies to New Testament believers. And if you are willing to come to grips with the meaning of this phrase, I think you will be able to measure your own spiritual life. For in the end, it needs to be asked, is God your inheritance? And my friends, if God is your inheritance, you will be able to tell it. Certain things will characterize your life. A certain perspective will dominate your life. So let's look at the meaning of this clause in verse 2. The Lord is their inheritance. First of all, we need to get the perspective in context. How was the Lord the inheritance of the Levites? Well, the Levitical priests spoken of in verse 1 are probably priests and Levites. The King James Version speaks of the priests and the Levites in verse 1. And the context in chapter 18 gives these two categories. Verses 3 through 5 speak of the priests. Verse 3 says, "Now this shall be the priest's due from the people." And verses 6 through 8 speak about the Levites. "Now, if a Levite comes from any of your towns," etc., etc. What's happening here is this. Two categories are being spoken of. And it is likely that the priests, on the one hand, are the sons of Aaron, the family of the high priest. In addition to the sons of Aaron, there were other priests among the Levites. And so this is another category of individuals being spoken of in that first verse. The priests served the altar of God. They were directly responsible for the offering of the ritual sacrifices. Then there were other Levites who did not offer sacrifices. Originally, these Levites transported the tabernacle from place to place in the wilderness. And when they were called upon to dismantle the tabernacle, they did so. And they transported it to the place where God commanded that the people should rest. And then again, they erected the tabernacle. And in addition to all the priests and Levites, all the things they were responsible for, they were also responsible for reading the law of God to the people and interpreting it. Now, verse 1 also tells us, the priests and the Levites, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. This means that when the promised land was divided among the tribes of Israel, the Levites did not have a particular portion. No definite area within Canaan was given to the tribe of Levi. When all the land of Canaan was divided up and parceled out among the tribes of Israel, Levi, the tribe of Levi, did not have a particular area in which to settle. They had no inheritance in the land. To be sure, certain cities were given to the Levites throughout the whole land. In other words, houses were given to the people, to the Levites. They were not to be without homes. But large tracts of land were not given to the Levites. As verse 2 says, "And they shall have no inheritance among their countrymen." The Levites were not to make their livelihood from the land. This is the lesson we learned. But if this was the case, what was the livelihood of the priests and the Levites? Verse 1 tells us, "The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire and his portion." The priests and the Levites lived from the portions of the offerings of God which the people brought. And notice that these are the Lord's offerings. They are his portion. The people were commanded to make certain sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. This was the Lord's due. The people were also commanded to give a tithe, the first fruit of their produce. This was the Lord's portion. And this is what the end of verse 1 is talking about. "They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire and his portion." Of these sacrifices and offerings given to God by the people, and it's important for us to notice that the people were giving these offerings and these sacrifices to God. Of these sacrifices and offerings given to God, God in turn gave a portion to the Levites and priests. Now notice the parallel between verses 1 and 2 in Deuteronomy 18. "The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's offerings by fire and his portion, and they shall have no inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance." The priests and Levites were to eat of God's offerings and of his portion, a portion of that which was God's, was given to them. And another way to put this is given in verse 2. The Lord is their inheritance. In other words, that clause, "the Lord is their inheritance," means two things. First, it means that the priests and Levites depended exclusively on God for their livelihood. God, you see, was pleased to give to the priests and Levites a portion of that which was his. And second, the priests and the Levites were therefore fellow heirs with God. Imagine this now, my friend. A portion of that which belonged to God was given to the priests and the Levites. And because this was true, God was able to come to the priests and the Levites and say to them, "Look, you are not to have any inheritance among the people of Israel. No parcel of land is to be yours. I am your inheritance.
The Lord is your inheritance. A portion of that which is mine, I will give to you. And my friends, that in essence made the priests and the Levites joint heirs with God. Now all of this was but an imperfect picture of things to come. And if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, I think you see in Romans chapter 8 the New Testament perspective on what we're saying. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Let me ask you, my friends, what are Christians? Christians are heirs of God. Christians are fellow heirs with Christ. Christians partake of God's offering for sin. And that offering for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives to Christians a portion of that which is His alone. God gives to Christians a share of that offering for sin, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives to Christians eternal life. He is the life. And Christians are privileged to participate in that life. He gives Christians His Spirit. The Spirit is given to Christians, and Christians therefore cry out to God, Abba, Father. My friends, this is a glorious truth. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. You have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. My friends, because this is true, Christians are fellow heirs with Christ. To put it another way, Christians are those of whom it can be said, the Lord is their inheritance. We can therefore liken Christians today, we can liken ourselves to those priests and Levites who were not given a portion of the land of Canaan. Those priests were not to be concerned with physical property. Those priests and Levites were not to be concerned with amassing wealth and laying up treasure upon earth. The business of the priests and the Levites was to serve the Lord their God. The Lord was their inheritance. And my friends, that's the way it is with Christians. A Christian is a citizen of heaven. Christians are strangers and sojourners upon the earth. And so Christians are commanded to lay up treasures in heaven and are likewise commanded not to lay up treasures upon earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is very specific when He says to you and He says to me as believers, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all those things which unbelievers seek after, they're going to be provided to you. Your perspective is this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, this is a terribly important perspective to grasp. The priests and Levites of old were to depend utterly and totally upon God. These men were not to use their ingenuity and native ability to amass wealth. The material goodies of this world were not their inheritance. The Lord was their inheritance. And the productivity of their lives was measured in their direct service to God. And my friends, we can say once again, that's the way it is with Christians. The Christian's chief end is not to make more money. The Christian's chief end is not to have a more successful business or to build a bigger house. All of these things are nice. But the Christian's chief end is to glorify God. And the measure of success for the Christian is not gauged in profits and losses. The productivity of a Christian's life is measured in terms of the Christian's direct service to God. And my friends, this is true because the Lord is their inheritance. Allow me to carry this a step further. Of the priests and Levites, it was said, the Lord is their inheritance. But how well did the priests and the Levites understand their privileged position? How well did they understand that they had a special relationship with God? Oh, no doubt some of the priests had a very shallow relationship with God. And others had, no doubt, a profound understanding of their privileged position. And as a result, their spiritual relationship with God ran very deep. But then, how could the depth of this relationship with God be measured? It seems to me that the answer is quite simple. The quality and character of the work which the priests and the Levites did in God's sanctuary was the measure of their relationship with God. Those priests with a shallow spiritual life no doubt performed their tasks reluctantly. And some of them performed their tasks grudgingly. And one of the reasons for the spiritual decline in Israel was that the priests abandoned the sanctuary in favor of owning land and cattle and houses. The priests and the Levites forgot. The Lord is their inheritance. But isn't it the same way with Christians? Let's be open now and frank. As we apply the lesson to our own lives, to each of you as Christians, and to you collectively as a body of Christ, it may be said, the Lord is your inheritance. Oh, my friends, how well do you understand this? How well do you understand your privileged relationship with God? To put the question in different terms, what is the depth of your spiritual life? Isn't the depth of your spiritual life measured in terms of your service to God? You and I are like those priests and Levites of old in this way too. Now let's be a little bit more concrete. And I warn you, I'm going to step on some toes. But again, let's be honest with ourselves and with God. If you were going to tell me something, you would say, if the shoe fits, wear it. And I think that applies in our present situation. What is your devotional life like? What is your personal devotional life like? And your family worship? A warm relationship with God through daily Bible reading and prayer, is an indication of a healthy spiritual life. Failure in this area is a warning. It's a warning that your spiritual life is not what it should be. If you are not daily seeking God, do you really understand that the Lord is your inheritance? And what about your attendance at public worship? I fear that some of us will skip public worship at the drop of a hat. But if attendance at public worship, the public worship of God, is not a priority in your life, what does this say? It says, my friends, that you really don't understand that God is your inheritance. How many people today, for example, choose the Super Bowl over the public worship of God? And is the Super Bowl really as important as God? And what about Sunday school and evening worship and midweek study? Should these opportunities for study and worship be neglected? I, for one, am concerned about our evening worship. Not too long ago, a young couple from down the street visited evening worship. And on that evening, there were only a few adults present. Several children, to be sure, but only a few adults. And what was this young couple's impression about the spiritual depth of this congregation? Then, too, I am constrained to add a word about giving. God commands that we give to Him the first fruits of our labors. We are to give 10% off the top of our earnings to God. And if you neglect this, what are you saying to God? You are saying, Lord, there are a number of material things that are more important to me than you are. My friends, this too is an indication that you don't understand that God Himself is your inheritance. It is an indication that your spiritual life is not what it should be. Now, these points are some very obvious ones, and I don't select them to point the finger at any particular person. These are practical areas of service to God which readily display the depth of our spiritual lives. And you see, the point is this. The Lord is your inheritance. This is the extraordinarily wonderful truth that is being brought to us today. As a Christian, God Himself is your inheritance. You are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, and you need to come to understand this truth more and more. Not only that, you need to come to understand your God more and more, and the relationship you have with your God needs to be fulfilled more and more. You need to come to see and exalt in your privileged relationship with God. But my friends, you also need to see that your understanding of this relationship can be readily measured. It is measured in terms of your service in God's sanctuary. The depth of your spiritual life can be measured in terms of your service in this Christ's church. Amen. Father in heaven, help us, we pray, to see the glory of the truth that you are our inheritance. And help us, Almighty God, that as we experience
a relationship with you which is full and great. That as we experience that relationship, our lives might display that we really do know the truth, that you are our inheritance. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.